God gave me you guys. I want to tell you, you guys are special people for me, and I appreciate you coming back week after week. I said to her, you need to know what I think. I said, why would people come and listen to me? I don't get it, okay? You know, it's like, but I want to tell you, the truth is you didn't come to hear me. You came to hear about God, right? You know, I'm just happen to be the vessel and the tool that God wants to use. But I want to thank you. You guys are an amazing people. You know, you're here week after week. Your generosity to keep this place and to enjoy this place and to be a part of what God is doing here and the various places you serve, you take part in. And I just want to say I appreciate that. And really, you guys are amazing. But several weeks ago, I want to jump right into the message because I know it's Memorial Day. We're going to go out and visit things. I'm looking forward to go to Manteca. They have the Vietnam Memorial portable wall in Manteca. I've never seen it. I want to go up to Manteca after services this morning and get some pictures and see the memorial wall. I'm hoping to get to Washington one of these days. But I want to jump right in and just kind of keep moving, because if I don't, we'll be here all morning and into the afternoon. And so I want to move on with the message. Two weeks ago, we began this series, God Gave Me You. And I wanted a series on marriage and family, and we kind of began with Mother's Day. I think couldn't think of a better day. God gave us our mothers. What a great gift that God gave us with our mothers. And then he gave us our babies, and we did that baby dedication. And I share with you my wrestling that, you know, when I pass from this world to the next, I want to hear God say, well done. Anybody in that boat? I want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I wanted to hear that. But as I was preparing that message, some other words came to my mind that I want an echo here on this earth. I want somebody to write of the future of me, that the faith of my grandchildren, the faith of Austin and Aubrey and Samantha and Remy and Olivia and all my grandchildren, that somebody would write of them, you know, the faith that they have was first seen in their mother and their father and their grandmother and their grandmother. I don't only want to hear a message up in heaven, I want to hear a message here. And that's one of my passions. When I pass, I want somebody to say, you know, that faith that you have, Austin or Jules or whatever that grandchildren, Matthew, whatever it is, you know, I seen that in your father. You know, I think about my grandmother. I think about my grandfather and their faith. You know? And then last week we kind of talked about marriage and we kind of started drilling down. And I wrestled with two great words for marriage for me was grace and love. Which one do I do first? And I started realizing as I was preparing it, grace has to undergird love. Because if you don't have grace, you ain't going to be in love. I mean, you know, without grace, you know, it just doesn't work without grace. We got to have that grace, that giving God first in our life and that forgiveness of others. We got to have that grace. If we want love, there's got to be grace. But then this morning, I want to kind of talk about love. And our American culture has a different view of love than I want to talk about. You know, love is this very confusing term. When you talk about love, what do you mean? You know? When we say we're in love, what do we mean? I mean, you know, it's you turn TV on, there's all sorts of shows about love. You know? All these romance novels that sell. You know, go to the Goodwill store and just look down the shelves of all the romance novels. You know, they're just, you know, what is love? I mean, I walk around and I tell my wife, I tell Laura, I love her. I love my wife. I love Taco Bell. All right. I love hot dogs. I love Disneyland. I love my love. What are we saying when we say, I mean, you think about that. And we use this word and we toss this word out. I love my grandkids. I love my kids most of the time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody got kids? You know, you know. We love all this stuff. You know, I fell in love with a boyfriend. I fell in love with a girlfriend. And like I shared, I sat before that judge or the representative of the judge when Laura and I were getting married. Since she was young, we had to sit and have a judge approval. And, you know, why do you want to get married? It's not a, you know, when you're 20 and 19, you're 17, you're 21 years old, you want to get married, you have one word. We are in. Yeah, you guys got it. But then she goes, what does that mean? I don't know. Seriously, she said that, and I don't know, you know. I love my boyfriend, my girl. We toss those words out. I got one thing for me, that word love, I never told anybody, I never told another girl in my life that I loved her besides Laura. You know, I had a couple of girlfriends, that Laura's the only one I ever said I love you to. Now, I tell you guys I love you. That's a little different. See, that's a different love. You know? But we wrestle with it. And so Paul tries to give us some, how do we, it's an emotion, and how do we wrestle with love? And so Paul puts some words to it. It's in that 13th chapter of Corinthians. Anybody know it's called the love chapter? You guys got it. Look, he says this, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful most of the time. It does not rejoice at wrong. Oh, I better, that was kind of commentary for Gary, right? Irritable and resentful. You guys never, anybody ever get irritable or resentful in a marriage? You were never irritable, right? Come on. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Paul's trying to put some handles on love. Because we say we love somebody, we say we love this, but what does it mean? And so Paul tried to put some teeth into it, you might say. He tried to put something that we can hang on to. When I say I love you, what am I saying? I'm saying I'm going to be patient. I'm saying I'm going to be giving. I'm going to be sacrificial. I'm going to be, he's going to put something to that love. And what I want to do this morning is I want to kind of dwell on this. And maybe you studied a book. Anybody here ever read the book, The Five Love Languages? Come on, anybody? I see one hand. Come on, now I know some more of you. We did it in the church. Come on. Well, if you didn't read it, guess what? You're going to get a lesson on it this morning. So that means this is all new to some of you. You know, because I think we talk about love. We talk about love. But the problem is, we all love differently. And that book has some really great insight. Now I'm going to kind of dwell on this for a minute. Because you ever notice this? When you talk about love, and we talk about our marriages, opposites attract. You ever notice that? You know, there are some foundational things. Laura and I have been married. We're moving on that 39 years. In just a few weeks, it'll be 39 years. You know, that doesn't count 4 years of going together. So now we're, you know, we're almost to 45. Let's get it up there. You know? And we have a lot of similarities. There's a lot of things that we complement one another on. You know, our faith, God first in our life, raising our family in church. And we have a lot of those complements that we really work together on. But then there's those things that were the opposite. We're just, you know, it just, we're opposites on a lot of things. You know, anybody here like this? Anybody here in your marriage, in your relationship? Somebody is a spender and somebody is a saver. Anybody ever find that in your marriage? You know, one of them is going to be the one who, you know, that's, you know, we got to save, we got to do this. You know, here, Laura and I, it's like, I have a rule, bills before groceries. You know? If you want grocery money, make sure you don't charge too much last month. Yeah? Because I'm going to pay my bills first. Yeah? But we have these differences. Extrovert, introverts. Anybody have that one? You know? Laura's a little more introvert. I'm the extrovert. We go to these meetings. I'm out in the front of everybody. I don't care who you are. Hi, my name's Gary. We have some homebodies, you know, just want to kind of stay at home and relax. Then you got your social butterfly, you know, just, they just want to go every night. I'm tired. Yeah. How do we wrestle? How do we deal with this when we talk about love? And, you know, how do we wrestle with this, with these opposites? You know? And yet God calls us to be one. I like this passage. I'm going to probably use this passage every message during the series here. Look at what it says again. Then the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed it up, placed it with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this is called, I said last time, woman. Yeah, whoa, man. Because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I want you to circle that one flesh. How Why? I'm trying to figure it out. Why would God put two people who are opposite together and say, be one flesh? Yeah. How do these two opposites attract? How do we make this work? How do we take these two that are different? Yeah, there's some foundational similarities. You know, some foundational values that are the same. And yet there's things that we wrestle with. And how do we make it work? That's why I kind of stopped when I was reading that verse there in that 1 Corinthians 13 passage, irritable. I'm sure we never do anything that irritates one another in marriage. You never say the wrong thing. You never do the wrong thing. You know, it's just, you know, we're in love and yet we're so opposite in many ways. Laura and I travel across country to go see our son, and I'm planning the trip. You know what I'm planning the trip around? Presidential libraries. Okay, if we get to here, I can go see George W. Bush's library. And then, well, you want to go see Duck Dynasty. So we're going to go by their place over here, and then we're going to go. Then on the way back, we're going to go, so we can go. If we go this way, we'll see George Bush's library. And you want to see, you know, and Laura takes a book with her. And she'll go with me a little while, and then pretty soon she disappears. Yeah. All I got to do is go find a bench. There she is, sitting there reading a book. Come here, you got to go take a picture of me by this. Yeah. We're opposite. How do we work this out? You know, how do we do that? And then we say we're in love. I love her. And so in those five languages of love, he kind of goes through this. There's these five love needs we have. We need all five of them, okay? We're going to look at five love needs, and we need all five of these. You know, it's not like I need this one or I don't need this one. We need all five. But one or two of them are primary. They're kind of on the top of where our love fluctuates the most. And I want us to kind of think about it. Have you ever... You know, you're trying to be loving and you're trying to be caring and you do things for them and yet they don't appreciate it. Anybody? You ever do things for your spouse and it's like, they didn't say a word. They really don't care. It didn't make a difference. I'm not doing that again. Yeah. You know what that might be? It might be you're just miscommunicating on love. You know, you just went right. I'm in that boat. It's like, I just can't figure this out. I washed the dishes today. You know? I didn't get anything for it. She didn't even say thank you. You know? It's like, just so you know, that's not, gifts of service is not Laura's. I'll just tell you right now. But it's like, how do we figure this out? And so I want to just real quick, I'm going to go through these five real quick, because it can be frustrating, it can cause problems, and it's about love. So here we go, real quick, let's go through these. We need these. And what I'm saying is this, we need to sync this up. We need, what I'm trying to drive at is, I want the way I express love to be the way that she receives it, in the way that she expresses it. I receive. And so we got a sync. That's why I call this sermon sync. Anybody ever get a new cell phone? Anybody ever buy a new cell phone? Anybody? You guys still got the phone from the 19? You got the brick? I know you guys have bought phones. Come on now. But you go buy a cell phone, and the first thing you give it to the guy, you give him your old one, and you tell him what? Sync this phone so I don't have to type my contacts in again, right? Come on. You want this phone synced up. Well, that's what I'm saying about our marriage. We need to sync our marriages. We need to sync the way we communicate our love with one another. And so we need to work on this. And so here's this first one. There's this idea of physical touch. And I put these words there in your outline. It says, this person feels love when others touch them lovingly. I was doing some research as I was looking this one up. And the study said we need at least 8 hugs a day. You need at least 8 hugs a day. Now you notice I said you need at least 8 hugs a day. I have this one, just so you know, this one ain't mine. All right? Tell you right now. You guys know me. I don't mind a nice firm handshake, pat on the back. But I wasn't raised in a huggy family. And it's kind of, I get goosebumps. And some of your kids are mean to me. You know? But we need this. We need that touch. We need to hug. Some people, that's their primary way of communion. That's it. When you hug them, there's just this warmth, and they just glow. You know, and we need that. And we need to feel that embrace. You know, that pat on the shoulder. You know, you're driving the car down the road, you reach over and you touch his leg or her leg. You know, you hold hands as you walk down the mall or you walk along the beach. You know, that physical touch that you share with one another. Jesus seen this. Even in a dire situation, Jesus touched the untouchables. Those with leprosy, those who had probably never felt the touch of a hand from anybody because they were untouchable. They had leprosy and never felt the touch from anyone. Jesus touched them. Look at what it says. And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." He touched him. Jesus, I didn't put the passage here. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to him so he could what? Touch them. See, there's power in that touch. And for some, that is what they need. They need to feel that touch, that warm embrace. You know, when you walk in the door, if this is one for your spouse, they walk in the door, run over and give them a big hug, or you go over and give them a big hug and let them know that you love them and that you care, and it's just a glow. It's something that's going to really fill. I like the way the book, Five Languages, talk about that love tank. It just fills up their love tank. And so there's the power of touch that we have. I also put down here, if you look at the next one, the acts of service. Acts of service, doing kind things, simple acts of kindness. Things like I said, I wash the dishes. Again, just so you know, I would rather wash dishes than mow the yard, okay? I hate yard work. You can see when you go by my house, it's very obvious. Yeah. But I'll wash the dishes, I'll vacuum the floor. I might mop. That might be stretching it a little bit. Yeah. But those simple acts, those things that say, I care, those things that say, listen, you matter to me. And for some, that's their primary need. That, you know, you did this for me. You really did that for me? You know, and that's it. Again, we can look to Jesus and see Jesus talk about this. Look at what he says. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So we have this acts of service, those little kind things, those little things that we can just reach out and touch. We were building this building and all the work down here. Lord would come down and bring me lunch. I shared with you guys in the morning. I was sharing with somebody again. I got a shirt on this morning, and they're talking about red, white, and blue and all this. I don't even know, you know. And I've shared with you. I get up. I go to the sink. I shower. I brush my teeth. I take my medicine. I get in the shower. I get out of the shower. And on the end of my bed is my clothes. Everything I need. And Laura's sitting there ironing my shirt. I am blessed. She doesn't have to do that. Now, I'll give you guys a little hit. When it's not there, I know I got a problem. All right? Something's wrong. I messed up somewhere. You know, a little red light should go on. Somebody's not happy in this home. You know? But yeah, I mean, every Sunday, you know, I get out. There it is, all laying right there on the bed. Socks, everything. I just sit down on the edge of the bed and start getting dressed. She finishes the shirt, holds it up, and I go over and put my shirt on. You know? That's acts of kindness, isn't it? Now, some of you guys are going, that would be nice, and some of you ladies are going, don't ask. You know? But that's Laura's way of saying, I love you. Now, hopefully that's my primary one, but it's not. But it's a good way. It's a good way. It'd probably be one of the secondary ones. Okay, I'll put that one as number two. Yeah. But see, we see those acts of kindness, that simple acts of service. How about the next one? Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. We all need to hear kind words. We all want to hear positive words. We all want to hear people build us up. Now, I should have said this earlier, but just in case you didn't get it, if you're not married, if you got kids, this works. If you got people at work, this works. I mean, this isn't just for married people, okay? But I'm talking more about marriage this morning. But we all want to hear good words. We all want to be built up. Just so you give you a little idea, I'll give you a hint about me. This one's mine. All right? Words of affirmation. Now, I struggle with this because as a pastor, sometimes I got to make decisions that aren't very good, and I have people don't say words of acclamation to me. You know? Matter of fact, I've told you this story. I had somebody out in front of the old blue church. Gary, I hate you. You know? I've been on the school board and had people carry signs that do not appreciate me. You know, when you lay your wife off three times because of budget concerns, you know you're in trouble, okay? Yeah. But we all like these words. We want to hear those words. We want to hear kind words. We want to hear compassionate words. We want to hear words that build us up. And for some, this is their primary need and what they really need. And I think Solomon had some great wisdom here. Look what Solomon said. Careless words stab like a sword, but the words of wise people bring healing. Words are powerful. Words have meaning to them. Look again at what he says down in Proverbs 15. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make temper flares. You know? But we have to have those words of kindness. You know? I always look at it this way, and I kind of thought about things like this. When your spouse is doing something, and maybe it's not all the way, maybe it's not where you think it should be, but you know, is the glass half full or half empty? I never forget the statement one of the preachers made. I was listening to him one Sunday, and one of his parishioners came to him and was going, they went by one of the home groups. You know how we talk about getting in Bible study, being in a Bible study during the week? One of their members had drove by one of the home groups, and there was a person out front smoking a cigarette. One of the members of the group. And so that the member had seen that come up to the pastor. Pastor, you can't believe it. I was driving by such and such house. You know, they were having their home group meeting, and so-and-so was out in front smoking a cigarette. And he goes, was it just a cigarette? And he goes, yeah, I think it was just there. He said, well, praise God, that's all he's smoking now. Yeah. Do we look at it half full? Praise somebody on their progress. You know what? They're making inroads. They're doing better. They're working at it. You know, we're going to wait till they get all the way through. You know, sometimes we've got to encourage people along the road. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes this road gets discouraging, doesn't it? Yeah, and so we got to have words along the road that encourage. No, they're not perfect yet. They're practically perfect like me and Mary Poppins. You know, they're in that process. You know, compliment them on that. Encourage them with that. Have those words that lift up. Have those words that acknowledge. Those words that praise. The next one I put down here is quality time. Quality time. Not just quantity time, but quality time. Yeah, we sit on the couch and watch TV together. Did you guys talk? Did you listen? I'll give you an idea here. Turn the TV off and spend some quality time with one another. It's a challenge. I want to tell you, you want to do some real good quality time? When you got good time, get in the car and drive 3,000 miles across the United States. And especially when you're on Highway 10, down from San Antonio to El Paso. Because there's no radio either. So you got 500 miles with your spouse and no radio and nothing, even your phone says you can make calls internationally. Huh? You're in trouble. Yeah. Quiet, quality time. We need to have that time. We need to take time. Some people, they need to know that time, that you had special time, that you spent time with them. You know, I calculate, I look back over my life, and I think about some of the special time with my grandparents now and how much I appreciate going up and staying with my grandmother during the summer. And it was an extra blessing because I was the number one grandson, and whatever I wanted, I got. It was really a good time, you know. I don't know if my aunts appreciated it, but I sure did. You know, but that was special time. I still remember those times with fondness. See, I'll give you a little hint. You need to spend time now so later on you have wonderful memories to share. You get the picture? You know, spend the time now. Laura and I have had this thing when we were raising our kids. I'm not going to wait to retire to enjoy life. because I don't even know if I'm going to live that long. And so we'd go to the church meetings, and we'd take our kids with us, and we even took Martha to Mexico. Martha's been in Mexico with us. You know, we've been everywhere. It's just, we're going to make memories. We drive up, and we just drove up and go up to Lodi and watch the parachuters jump. You know? And so I just want you to spend that time. Look at, again, listen to Solomon. And this is a great passage. You might write these other verses down. Go all the way through verse 9. I just wanted to do one verse. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. There is a time for everything. And this goes on, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck. A great passage. I'm going to tell you, don't tell me you don't have time. We all have the same amount. Make the time. And for some of us, that's our spouses. That's our spouses' quality. And just so you know, I don't think this is Laura's number one. I don't know what she would say, but I think this is Laura's number two. All right, this is what I'd put. If I rate Laura's, I would rate this one as number two. How about the next one? Receiving gifts. This person feels love when others give them thoughtful things. I'll give you a hint. I don't know if Laura's going to come in and yell at me, but I think this is Laura's. You know what I gave her for Mother's Day? You guys can't believe this. I went to the Disney store and bought a $20 gift card from the Disney store. Because you know what? That means I can save $20 when I'm at Disneyland. Because she's already got a $20 gift card. See, it works. See, I'm the saver. She's the... Never mind. Yeah. That's why we have a spending plan. I don't know if I'm going to have fun tonight or not this evening. But some people, it's the gifts. It's those little things. You know, look at what it says here in God's Word. I showed you all these things that you should work as I did and help the weak. I taught you to remember the words Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's me. I'd rather give than receive. That's my, I enjoy giving. I enjoy sharing. And see, we need to see that, and we need to hear that. Just those giving. It doesn't have to be an elaborate gift. It doesn't have to be an expensive gift. $20 gift card. That's all. Because we're going to go to Disneyland, so we get to spend it. We get to spend it. Yeah. But it can be a homemade gift. I don't know about you, some of you who are raising kids. What's some of your fondest gifts from your kids? Isn't it the homemade stuff? You know, the stuff they made with their hands. Isn't that the thing that's most precious to you when you look at your kids? Yeah. It doesn't have to be anything special. It could be, you know, whatever. And so we need to see this. These homemade, just not elaborate, nothing fancy. Just, you know, I was thinking of you. You know, I thought about you. You know, you're important to me. And so here's these five qualities. And the problem is sometimes we're opposite and we miscommunicate. Because see, here's the hint for you. You're probably going to do for your spouse what you wish your spouse would do for you. Did that make confusing? Did I get confused there? You're probably going to do what you wish your spouse would do for your spouse. Because that's how I want people to love me, so, you know, and so we do that. And so I want to challenge you. How do we figure that we're opposites, and many times we don't fit together? You know, we complement one another in many ways, but then there's other ways that we're just the opposite. So how do we figure this out? How do we work this out? How do we figure out these five languages of love? How do we work this out? And so I just gave you real quick. First, I said here, you want to discover your own? Here's three things. If you want to look at yourself, how do you express love to others? What do you do most? Yeah. I do. I give lots of compliments. I like complimenting people. I want to build people up. And I think words are powerful. And I express it with words. How do you express yours? What's the way that you most likely tell your spouse or communicate your spouse your love? Second one I put down here is, what do I complain about the most? Don't you like that one? What do I whine about the most? What frustrates me the most? What am I complaining about? And then the last one, what do I request most often? If you want to know yours, kind of sit down. Who am I? What am I looking at? What about me? But the challenge is to find our spouses, because it's not about us. And here's what I was thinking about. I almost put those verses from Ephesians, you know, when Paul described marriage. And if anybody familiar, Paul described, we read them last week in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul had that description of marriage, submit to one another. wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And then it goes on a little ways and it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And as you read that passage, you can get kind of confused because Paul's, is he talking about the church or is he talking about marriage? Well, he's talking about both, right? And as I was thinking about this challenge for us in our love for one another, I thought about a passage in Hebrews where Paul, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm not quite sure. I'll give you the, you know, there's kind of discussion who wrote Hebrews, Apollos, and some of those others are possible explanations of who wrote Hebrews. But I kind of lean towards Paul myself. And as I was leaning this, Paul again was writing about the church, or the author in Hebrews was writing about the church. And he had these words. Look at what it says, Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25. We must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and to do good things. We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. And as I read that, I went like this. You know what? My house should be a house of God, shouldn't it? Shouldn't my home be a temple of God? Shouldn't my house be a place where God is on the throne? And I thought, these verses fit for a home, wouldn't you say? I mean, if it's good enough for the church, isn't it good enough for your home? You know, if this is what we should be doing in the church, shouldn't we be doing this in our own home? And I looked at that. We must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and do good things. You know, I see this that he's saying, listen, do we have any encouraging words? I see him talking about this. I see him talking about encouraging words, being there with one another, doing good things with one another, keeping together with one another. I see those love languages. You see those in there? You know, and I think this is something we need to nurture in our homes. And so, how do we discover our spouse's love language? I'm going to just give you one idea real quick, one idea of what you can do. Now, you can have other ideas. You can read the Five Languages of Love. Gary Chapman's a book. You can buy a used one really cheap on Amazon or eBay. You can get them real cheap. It's very much worth reading. Somebody might share one with you. Talk to some of us in the church. We have copies we might share with you because it's worth reading. Bible first, okay? Read your Bible first. But then also there's some other good literature out there. Good Christian man wrote it. But here's an idea. Listen to your spouse's complaints. All right? When your spouse starts complaining, if you're like me, if I had any hearing aid, you know what I would be doing? Right? I mean, they start complaining and whining and nagging. It's like, how do I turn this thing off? Yeah. We need to listen to those complaints. I put it down like this. Listen to this. You mean you didn't buy me anything? Do you ever miss me when I'm gone? Maybe they have the gift of receiving. Huh? What do you think? How about this one? We never spend time with each other. You're never home anymore. How about time? How about this one? I don't think you'd ever touch me if I didn't initiate it. Now, just a quick little note here. I should have said this earlier. Guys, you need to listen to me. There's a difference between compassionate touch and sex, okay? Don't get confused, guys, all right? Just kind of a side note there. How about this one? I can't do anything right around here. All you ever do is criticize. I can never please you. How about words of affirmation for that one? I'm sure none of you guys ever hear that, right? Come on, you never hear those things. How about this one? If you love me, you would do anything. You would do something around here. You never lift a finger around here. Yeah. Gifts of service, you might think. See, we need to listen to those complaints. We need to hear what they're saying. We need to tune into what they're saying. And so what you can do is this. I put it this way at the next one. It says, ask your spouse, how much love do you feel? How much love do you feel coming from me? Here's what I want to tell. Here's a challenge for you. If you don't know what your spouse's love language is, and you don't know how to love your spouse, God brought two together, you're supposed to be one, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? You're supposed to be one. And now if you got to try to figure this out, here's an idea. Pick one of these five. Pick one. Any of them. Pick your best guess at what you think your spouse's is. And for a month, do it. For 1 month, do it over and over and over again. For 1 month, pick one and do it. At the end of that month, ask them, real simple question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you feel loved by me? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much? Now, if they give you a 7, 8, or 9, that's pretty good. You're all right. All right? But that's still not a 10. So you know that's one way. Next month, pick a different one. Pick another one. Shoot it out there. Practice it for a month. Then ask them, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you feel loved by me? They give you a 10, you go, man, I nailed it now. I know what I got to do. I know what it is. See, and you just keep going through those five. We all need all five of them, but we have a primary. You have one that you just kind of lean on to. And that you kind of, and I'll give you something else. You know, I pretty much guarantee you this. I guarantee you this, pretty much. If you start doing that and you start practicing that, pretty soon, guess what they're going to say? They're going to go, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you feel I love you? You know, if you keep asking that, pretty soon they're going to go, well, maybe I need to think about this. You know, you want to feel love, start, you know, well, when they start, I'll start. I'm going to be real mean right here, all right? Take it for what it is. I expect men to be the spiritual leaders in the home. Men, suck it up. Start. All right? If I hit you with a baseball bat, suck it up. Yeah. Be the man of the house. I really do. I believe men need to step up and be men today. It's like, I don't know what it is. I'm going to wait till she figures it out. No, you get working on it. And I guarantee you guys, if you start working on it, she's going to start working on it. Because she knows, man, she cherishes that love. She appreciates that love. She feels it. And I guarantee if you start, they'll start. Now, what about it? I had this passage I close with here because I think it says it all. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. We must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and do good things. We got to work at it. You got to show it. You got to move on it. You got to work at it. So I want to encourage you this morning to show your love. God blessed me with a wonderful wife. I tell God all the time, do I deserve Laura? No. Am I blessed? Yes. Does she frustrate me sometimes? Some of you have been around when you've seen it happen, all right? Yeah. It's called marriage. Yeah, I see an amen sign. But I'm going to tell you something. I love her. I still remember the day when I realized she's the one I wanted. It's burned in my mind. And it wasn't because she was some beautiful looking girl, because she was. But she's a 14-year-old girl with two black eyes laying in a bed who had no surgery. See, Laura's had plastic surgery. She broke her nose 7 times before she was 14 years old. She's got wire in her nose. Yeah. But I remember looking and I'm going, I just felt drawn. I felt drawn. And God brought us together, and I used to give people in my church a bad time, my mother-in-law and all of them, and I would say, God stuck me with her. Because I didn't have a choice. It's that God picked her, and I'm going with her. Yeah. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. I've had a great 44 years, getting on 45. We've only been married 39 of them, almost 39 of them. See, I remember June 12th. Guys, remember those dates. Yeah. But I want her to know I love her. It's not enough just to say it, is it? Not enough for me to stand up here and tell you guys I love her. I need to show her where she understands I love her. Where she knows I love her. By the way that she can receive it. So I'm going to challenge you. But I want to encourage you. I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about raising your kids. I want my kids to know I love them. I want my grandkids to know I love them. I had a great time yesterday. My little granddaughter, Aubrey, texted me. She's at her friend's house, and she's texting her grandpa. You know, and she, what are you doing? Sitting here? What are you doing? I'm at a friend's house. Well, go play with your friend. What are you talking to me for? I didn't tell her that until the very end. Yeah. But we can love our kids. I encourage you, if you want to do something great, go to the five languages. You can get it on the web. They got a test you can take, all sorts of stuff on the web. Really some great tools there for your children. Even in workplaces, it's all there. But see, God created you and I. And he established the rite of marriage where two, a man and a woman, unite and become one. I want to challenge you to be one. To be one with your spouse. To be one with your family. To be one. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. That you are a compassionate God and you looked upon this beautiful creation. You created a big, beautiful world, a Garden of Eden, and you established this world. And then you seen that we as humans needed companionship, needed somebody to share our life's journey, someone to love and be loved. Lord, thank you for creating the rite of marriage and putting spouses in our life, children, grandchildren, grandparents, parents, to share love, to become one. You know, as we're praying and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there's some struggles and you just want some prayer. God, I want to know who I am. I want to know what my love is. And Lord, I want to love my wife. I want to love my husband like they've never been loved before, and I want them to know it. Let me show them I truly love them. You want to shoot your hand up and I'll pray for you? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. I see them. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, I lift these up that acknowledge a desire to not only be loved, but to show love to their spouses. Lord, I lift them up to you that you can give them wisdom and knowledge, that you'll reveal to their heart's mind and their heart's eyes the love language that speaks love and care and compassion, that their other will know that they're deeply loved and deeply cherished. Lord, thank you for loving us and allowing us to be called your children. Now encourage us to not grow weary in doing good, that we may inherit the joy of thy salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.